What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
The Volume.
It's Jenkins and Jones presented by FanDuel. Might be cold, but the sports calendar is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel always has exclusive offers, boosts, and more. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting. Combine multiple bets from the same game in a same-game parlay and try out same-game parlay plus. And FanDuel is now live in Maryland. So use promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, and download the FanDuel app today to start making every moment more. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, November 28th, and we're fresh off Thanksgivings and birthdays and all kinds of good shit. Excited to be talking to y'all. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my friend, my dear friends. My dear friends. LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And as always, we're coming to you live on the Amazon AMP app at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, Mondays and Thursdays, and then we're in your regular podcast feeds after that, so you can always tap in with us live. If you are listening to this on one of the other services, we will be live, like I said, 8 a.m., 11 a.m. every Monday and Thursday. You can follow us on the Amazon AMP app. Fellas, our boy turned 40.
Nigga. Officially old, nigga.
40 water.
40,
yeah.
God damn, nigga. Shit, bro. That shit, what's crazy is, like, being 40 is not as crazy, but when you think about, damn, I've been on this earth 40 years, you know what I mean? That's where it's like, wow. You know, and what shocked me more about anything is how fast it came. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I still remember and feel shit, like, from when I graduated high school. Like I can see it in my head, dog. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, smell the smell still, and I'm already 40. Shit, wild, G.
Twitter's been enjoying the videos Adrian put up, a couple of John's best friends. Adrian came out, Tyler came out, surprised him. Love the videos, man. And Tyler, you are a fucking madman, bro.
Realest nigga on the planet, dog.
Tyler shaming all friends everywhere in America, flew out from Virginia to go out for dinner and drinks, and then flew back at 6 a.m.
Next day. nigga got there at 7, right? You feel me? And left at 6 for another friend that was in town that he's known since he's a kid. Like, this nigga was satisfied all, bro, best friend on the planet to all friends, nigga.
Yes, sir. I had the Thanksgiving Thursday with the fam. Friday, flew out to see my boy. I couldn't stay the whole weekend because, like you said, my homeboy, who I ain't seen in like 5 years, has been my dog since middle school. He was back in town, so we kicked it on Saturday. So just a Friendsgiving weekend for your boy, man. You know, right. I wouldn't have missed that shit. You know what I'm saying? Adrian reached out to me like last week, was like, you know what I'm saying, we going to goddamn, you know, pop up on John on the birthday boy and some surprise shit. I didn't know if I was going to be able to swing it because, like I said, you know, I told my homeboy, you know what I'm saying, that we were going to kick it that weekend. But we moved the shit from Friday to Saturday. He stuck around an extra day to make the shit work. So,
man. Yeah, man. I appreciate him too. Shit.
For sure. But yeah, winning the missing for the world, bro. Happy you fucking exist. Happy you hit the big 40. Happy for the friendship we have. You know what I'm saying? Like I told you in the text, bro, the first time we kicked it, we was some broke ass 20 somethings. I had to fucking greyhound it to Austin. You know what
and
I'm saying?
We had 12 niggas in a van driving down from St. Louis, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Goddamn 12 deep enough in one hotel room and
shit. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you feel me?
Yeah. And you
had
know
carpet
and
in the damn fucking bathroom, bro.
Right.
It was down bad.
And now we some, you know, we were some broke, scrambling 20 something. Now we some well-off old heads who can, you know, drop a bag just to kick it with the homie for a few hours. And, you know, it's beautiful that we've all been successful on, you know, the individual routes that we've gone down. But I appreciate how we've been successful in this podcast and shit, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, all three of us making this shit happen. I don't take the shit for granted that we are getting paid to talk to each other. Three fucking friends getting paid money just to have conversations with each other, bro. It's a wild fucking existence. But like I said, John, love you, bro. So motherfucking happy that you're here. So happy you exist. Happy 40th. You know what I'm saying? Love how you moving in the working world and the family man world, all that shit, man. My nigga for life, dog.
Man, I don't mean trip off my birthdays. I ain't the type of nigga to make a fuss, you know what I'm saying, about shit. So I know 40's supposed to be a big year, but it's just another day, you feel me? So, like, birthdays to me are like that. For whatever reason, I never really tripped off of them. I might make a big deal out of somebody else's, but just not my own, you know? So, like, I was just like, man, I was like, we'll wait till we get to Christmas. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you know, when we're in Atlanta to celebrate with my whole family, y'all know I'm homesick every fucking day and I be missing the fuck out of my people. So I was like, let's wait till we get there. So when I put up at the crib, because we spent the night at Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying, with Rother's people and shit. And that was fun. The food was good. I was holding court, cracking jokes, had all my Indian family laughing and shit. You know what I'm saying? We was having fun and shit. But pulled up, and I'm like, there's some balloons out front. I'm like, what the fuck she got going? I ain't even bathed yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I don't want all of this shit. You know what I mean? And then it was Adrian behind the door, nigga. And I'm like, you know I'm pussy, so I immediately start crying. You feel what I'm saying? And then, like, I'm like, damn, like, you brought my, like, I known this. I'm coming in at 40. I was telling you, Tyler, it's good to, you know what I'm saying, be with niggas that, like, known you from when I was fucking driving Honda using my work card to buy sneakers and shit, you know? My work credit card because I didn't have the bread or the credit to get a real credit card, you know what I mean? When I was Capital One shouty, you feel me? You know what I'm saying? Like, but it was just crazy to see him. And then, you know, like, we went to dinner. I thought it was over with. We cool. I'm like, we going to go to the driving range and fuck around a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And then you come through the door. I'm like, nigga, stop playing with me. Mike pulled up on us and shit, man. I was like, damn, bro. Like, shit was just beautiful, man. Like I said, I'll make a fuss, but y'all made me feel special. You know what I'm saying? So I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. I appreciate that. I'm holding on to this forever, dog. Like, I'll be telling, like, y'all, the podcast shit cool. Like, whether this goes away or not, hopefully we 80 years old doing this. But if we ain't, the group chat never going nowhere. You feel what I'm saying? Niggas gonna nig. You know what I mean? We together. You feel me? So for sure, man. I appreciate y'all for real.
The podcast is never going away. They're gonna have to fire us
at
some point. You feel me? We're gonna be 78 talking about this brand of wheelchair is bullshit. Like,
right. Hey, man. And it's gonna be vibes too. It's gonna be a lot of laughs still, a lot of weed smoke. You feel me? Hell yeah.
I came out late. I was covering a football game, and we came out late. I appreciate you staying up an extra 15 minutes so I could come in. But I'm driving out there with my friend with other Tyler.
It was good to meet other Tyler too. I met him once. No, I haven't met him before.
He was excited to get to meet. I talk about you guys all the time. Obviously, he listens to pods sometimes and stuff. So, but we're driving out, and I was explaining what Tyler did. And he looked at me and he's like, "So he stunted on you pretty fucking hard." And I was like, "Yeah,
bro, crazy." I saw Tyler like, he's like, "I gotta be out at 6." I'm like, "Nigga, you fly out here for 12 hours? You in the airport longer than you gonna be here?" He's like, "Bro, I had to get out here." I'm like, "Nigga, you really the realest, nigga." Crazy.
Yes, it's
crazy.
It's a sliding scale of friendship, because for me, driving from Pasadena to LA after work is like, wow. This is you really in my heart, bro. You're in every ventricle of my heart. And Tyler,
I know that too.
I know that too.
You carried it up. No, but I mean, even when you coming from Pasadena, I'm like, I noticed that late. You know what I'm saying? I know you really. You know what I'm saying? I really appreciate it. But yeah,
I want to talk about what we talked about on your back porch. Was like the funniest shit. You got your the homies are in town. You turning 40. You got the table at the Soho House. We're gonna cut it up. We're going to be out till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Nigga, I told y'all, you know what I'm saying, when I was for Shay, Rother's like, put your ring on. I'm like, what? She's like, put your ring on, you know what I mean? We go out, nigga, we the most marriedest, regularest niggas out there, bro.
That
we
family man drink. Ass dinner we had, bro.
Bro, we had more rounds of chocolate chip cookies than fucking drinks, nigga. You feel me? I told y'all at the clock, I thought it was fucking 13 o'clock. It was 10:30, nigga. I told you that motherfucking time said, bitch, you old. I mean, when we got in the car, I was like, because I hadn't been out for real since Somi. You know what I'm saying? We got in the car. We playing some motherfucking No Flocking and shit. I'm like, damn, I feel young again. I felt it for like 8 seconds. We got that motherfucker. I was like, shit, nigga. Niggas is tired as a motherfucker. We was in bed at 11. We was at home by 11. Was finna be in bed by 11:30. Until Tyler was like, yo, man. Mike coming through. You know, he said he had to say it, niggas. Because you would have walked to the crib and every light would have been off.
Bro, I'm about to say, house was quiet and dark as fuck, bro. I had to whisper to you that Mike was coming because everyone was asleep.
Because everybody was asleep, bro.
I had to, like, pull you to the side and shit.
Andrew was like, man, I'm sorry, man. Because he was upset. If we got up at like 4 or something, he was like, I'm sorry, man. I got to cash out. You know, that nigga be smoking too. So that nigga was sick. But yeah, man.
You said 10:30 came through and hit you like Thor's hammer, bro.
Nigga,
just
that
like,
shit
right.
Bitch, you all go home, nigga. Take your old ass home, nigga. Bro, it was like, bro, we was so, like, we were like on the our best behavior possible. Like, dude, I don't even think I noticed the woman the whole time. Like, dude, I don't, were they in there? Like, she, bro, I'm like, put the ring on. I'm like, you don't know how cooked I am, dog. Like, shit,
we had pizza and cookies, like a fucking pizza. Honor roll dinner. honor roll kid lunch.
Sharing it.
Sharing
some.
One pizza and getting two rounds of cookies. And a fucking
you
one
guys
round
had
of
end of season youth back. You guys had an end of season youth team get together.
Bro, we was talking about that shit too. While we were there too, our taste ain't really changed. You know what I'm saying? I have my Air Max 97s on, my swishy pants and the motherfucking what's it called again? Soho House. The swishy pants on and the Soho House and a hoodie, nigga. I'm dressed the same way I was in fourth grade. I put on the same shit I put on for the motherfucking Friday party. You know what I mean? Shit. Same shit.
All right. Let's talk about a man who's not been a good friend to black people.
Yeah. What a segue.
One Jerry Joan.
One Joan.
Jerry Joan, the hell you doing? Historical edition.
he was curious. That's what he was doing. He was being curious, according to him.
Yeah, I've never seen someone get caught in 4K before the invention of color film. But Jerry Jones managed to do it. Story in the Washington Post. I think Tyler had this story 10 seconds after it came out or something. You texted I had a lot of people text me that story, and you beat everybody that day. But Jerry Jones was at not the you know infamous Little Rock 6, but like North Little Rock or something.
Yeah.
Was one of the crowd of white students who was physically barring black students from attending the high school on the day that the schools had been desegregated. His excuses in the story, I think we'll get to, are pretty preposterous. But I think this has been a really interesting conversation, and there's been a lot of comparison with like, oh, why does Kyrie have to do X, 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 and X, and Jerry Jones doesn't? But I would just start with this. The true fact of this from both of you, right, is that this does not surprise you. And I think that that's a big part of where the reaction comes from across the country. Would you agree with that, Tyler?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot to say about this soggy big toe looking motherfucker right here. all right. So here's the thing about the whole Jerry piece. Like you said, you know, the whole knee jerk reaction from everyone was, you know, are we really surprised? And of course we're not. No. You know, that wasn't the point, you know, or the purpose of the article. None of us are surprised that, you know, a 15-year-old white boy in Arkansas was present in a crowd that was, you know, harassing and assaulting black kids, you know, who were trying to just desegregate their school. You know, the article wasn't, you know, like I told y'all, it wasn't an expose or a gotcha piece. It was, I feel like the article used that photographic evidence of Jerry at that hate rally as a backdrop, you know, a backdrop to pose this question. You know, you were present at a hate rally where the aim was to halt the progress of black people. And now your abysmal record in regards to hiring black coaches indicates you still might be on the side of impeding black progress in the NFL now. You know, so that was a question that was posed. You know, is this who you are? Is this who you were then? Is this who you've always been? Because history isn't on his side in the first instance back in 1957, and his 33-year-old record of ownership where he's never hired a black coach. Has only had two black coaches as offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators in 33 years, the last one in 2008. Like, that record isn't on your side on this issue either. And I think it was a great job by the writers here to hold Jerry accountable on both of these fronts, because God damn did this motherfucker try to dodge accountability on both of these shits. Like the first instance, I'm going to read the quote. Because I think people have just reduced it to, yeah, this is just what happened in 1957 Arkansas. And boy, they are really selling Jerry short on how much he tried to bullshit us.
Right.
Let me pull this motherfucker up. All right, so, hold up. I had this bitch on. All right, so Jones said he was there only to watch, not participate. I don't know that I or anybody anticipated or had a background of knowing what was involved. It was more of a curious thing, he said. Jerry. You are full of shit. Like, you knew damn well what you were going to was a hate rally where the intention was to make life hell for these black kids who just sought to do something, you know, as fundamentally human as going to school. You knew damn well what it was because the week before, on November 2nd, 1957, the Little Rock Nine happened where they desegregated, you know, Central High and Little Rock, which I'm sure was the biggest story in the nation at the time. And I know for damn sure it was the biggest story in Arkansas at that time.
Right.
Right. So you saw the hate, you saw the vitriol, you saw the violence that the Little Rock Nine was handed by that racist mob. So you knew what you were going to when you showed up to your high school 10 miles away a week later. Right. So, you know, whether you went with malicious intent, you know, only Jerry Jones truly knows that. But that, you know, well, golly gee willikers, I didn't know what a pickle I was getting myself into. Bruh. That Leaving the Beaver shit right there ain't gonna fly on this one. You knew damn well what it was. You know what I'm saying? So, and to pivot to present day, right? His excuses for his terrible record on hiring black coaches, that shit don't hold up either. To give you the Cliff Notes version, right? Jerry says, you know, I believe it's a meritocracy where the guys who are the best networkers get the most doors open for them, which puts the onus on black coaches for not being great networkers, which just isn't true. The very issue here is that there are certain networks that black coaches are not allowed in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the issue at its core here. NFL coaching hires by and large, are not a meritocracy. It's largely nepotism. It's the good old boys network where white men are pulling other white men up. That's the issue here. So, you know, like I said, the question for Jerry remains this. 65 years ago, you know, you claimed to be nothing more than just, you know, a curious bystander dead in the middle of a racial crisis where you were a kid who was powerless to social norms at the time. Now you've been on the front lines in the league where you have more pull than anyone, even the commission.
Period.
For the last 30 years or so. A league that has its own racial crisis going on in regards to its shameful history of hiring black coaches. And your record on that matter is as dismal as it gets. So it's more than fair to reach back to 1957 to ask the same question today, which is, are you truly just some innocent bystander here? Or are you actively gatekeeping opportunities for white people? Because like I said, history isn't on your side in 1957, and your record on this matter is not on your side in 2022.
The fact that he was saying he was curious in 1957 in Arkansas, like, racism literally wasn't every fucking where. You know what I mean? Like, motherfucker, the same shit happened the day before. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just crazy that he would think that that's the excuse, or just speak against it. Say that, you know what I'm saying? Bro, my nigga, yeah, like, I was there and it was wrong. He had opportunity to say that, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he didn't do that as well. So, I don't know. The way he's responded, you know, to that particular question kind of makes, like, kind of stamps how he's acting currently. You know what I mean? Being that he didn't speak against the things that were going on. He just decided to make a really fucking silly excuse that, you know, like, it's ridiculous.
I think he's performing the fallacy that is how white people view historical racism and present day racism, and kind of how America processes its own story, which is he's pretending that racism is something that happened, not something that people were doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so the photo is pretty clear. He's not standing off to the side. He's standing between the black students and the entrance to the school. Now, he might not have been the dude with the cigarette in his mouth and a finger in a black kid's face, but you're standing behind that guy. So you
feel
can
me?
He might
you on that guy's
have,
side. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You on the side
and
of that guy.
He might even in his own head believe, oh, I grew up in a racist area. I was going to see what was happening. But that's not what you were doing. You were standing between those kids and the entrance to the school. And Tyler's exactly right. And the writers of the piece were right. And I agree with you. It was a great piece. In drawing a connection to the current day, because he's doing the same thing. Well, I'm just hiring the people that network the best. He's acting as though he's powerless. He's just seeing what happens with the coaching situation. You know what I mean? It's like, you are the owner of the Cowboys. No one could send a more clear and powerful message about giving black coaches an opportunity than Jerry Jones. And no one has done less.
Maybe in American sports. Maybe in American sports. He might be, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's America's team in every way in all sports. You know what I'm saying? Bro. But yeah, like you said, it's something that just happened. Like, black kids on the what did the black kids think about you on the other side? What did the coaches on this side think about you? You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't see that, and it's obvious.
And that's another thing. Like, we cannot make Jerry Jones the fucking victim here. We cannot, you know, lament the innocence of youth on Jerry Jones' mm-hmm. part here. Like, you know, the innocence of youth, the naive, you know, young kid. We're not going to do that with him.
But he was 14, Tyler. He was 14.
right. Because there are six kids in this story who deserve sympathy.
Right.
It's those black kids Facts. Who went through hell to just try to go to school. You know, so, yeah, miss me with that shit. Talking to you, Stephen A.
Of course we're talking to that. Weird. I can't believe that nigga put them motherfucking tap dance shoes on and did that motherfucking song and dance in front of the whole internet. This is the stance you choose? You know what I'm saying? Starts off, I'm very fond of Jerry Jones. Bitch! First, this nigga got on the internet. That motherfucker really got on the television, on Beyonce's internet, and shared that. He had to, not only did he share it online, he had to pick that clip. That's how it works. This is the clip you share, bro. This is the stance you wanted to take, not only on that TV show, but everybody else that didn't watch. This is what I want to let you know as well. You know, I'm very fond. He was 14, Tyler. He was 14, Mike. Nick, what the fuck?
Like you said, what about the kids on the other side? What how old are they? You know, those are the victims. Right. It's just so wild that this man took that fucking stance, bro. You know what I mean? I mean, it's flat out. And it's like, I'm like, out of all things to say in this situation regarding that, that's where you go. You know what I'm saying? The dude with the history he has in the league, well, the image we see, you know what I'm saying? He was only 14. Nigga, if you was the black kid on the other side, was he only 14 to you? You know what I'm saying? Right. If that was your family, then he's only a 14-year-old kid to you? Fuck you mean, bro?
That's just wild.
Jerry from his is old not ass. The victim here. Jerry is not the victim here. The worst thing that's happening to Jerry 65 years later is he has to answer some questions. That's fucking it. Like, the shit that those kids went through, that shit was traumatizing. They reached out to one of the six kids, and he said, my life changed forever that day. My worldview changed forever that day. He said, it traumatized me in a way that shaped my entire world. Right? And that's something that man has had to live with. That's something that all these those six kids who went through that shit had to live right. with every day. And I'm sure these people, these hecklers, these motherfuckers who just put those kids through hell on that morning, they just went about their day, went about their week, went about
it was
their,
a Monday. It was
lives.
A Monday to them.
It was just a Monday, and then Tuesday happened the next day. While these kids went through that hell, that trauma, and like that one guy said, it fucking shaped his worldview forever, impacted him in a way that you know, made him leery of white people, leery of America, you know, and rightfully so, because this country is not on our side. You know what I'm saying? But he had that harsh lesson that day. So, no, Jerry is not the fucking victim here. We're not going to make him one.
Yeah, I think Stephen A. is actually, first of all, the choice of the word fond. When's the last time you said you were fond of someone?
Like, I don't think I've ever said that I'm fond.
I'm fond of, like, yeah, I don't say I'm fond of humans. I say I'm fond of other things. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm fond of sunsets.
Like, right, you know what I mean? Yes. I'm fond of
talking
dogs.
Talking about that man like he was a baby, you know what I mean? Deer or
right,
something.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Nigga, I'm fond of Jerry Jones. Nigga, bro.
I think Stephen A. is kind of proving the point you were just talking about, Tyler, with hiring coaches, which is, I'm familiar with Stephen A.'s story. I've had a lot of respect for him and his journey and what it took to, you know, for him to get to the level he is. But this is exactly it, which is that in sports, like, it's all networking, and it's all how comfortable are the people at the next level with accepting you up to that next level, right? And that's how you end up with a dude who, I don't think Stephen A. Smith, I mean, this is a sucker-ass fucking comment, but I don't think he's like I don't think he's that type of a person. But I just think this is like, you're sniffing around for access, you're sniffing around for connections, and you keep passing up those levels, like, there's been a certain amount of ass that's been kissed. You know what I mean? And someone on Twitter said it best, bro. Like, it's okay to just say, hey, I know this person personally, and I'm sitting this one out. You can say that.
It's okay not to say that. It's okay to not say, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
yes.
But
we saw the same shit with Robert Sarver. We saw the same shit with Robert Sarver. Anytime, I'm sure if we go back and look closely enough, people said the same shit about Donald Sterling. You go back, any one of these big figures that a story like this comes out about, and some people, all they can see is what that person did for them personally and not who they are in the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you don't have to come out and say he's a great guy and I'm fond of him. You could just sit it out.
it was wild for me to hear. What's your boy name? The shooter that was on the Heat, the deep ball shooter that played with Bron. He barely played, but he was with the Robert Sarver situation. They quoted him.
James Jones.
James Jones. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was interesting. It was weird hearing James Jones say, like, after hearing all these people say this shit, you know, this is not the Robert Sarver I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was weird. It was. You know what I'm saying? But for him to come out and take this stance, like, to defend him, defending Jerry as if, you know what I'm saying, as if he's the victim.
Right.
And then, like yeah. against, like, bro, there is an image, like, of him standing, bro, nigga. So you go to the Civil Rights Museum and look at the white people, like, they were only, you know what I'm saying? They're only 14-year-olds there, you know, like, you know, you know, come on, bro. Is this what you really trying to do at this moment? You feel me? I mean, there's just no excuse. You have to, at minimum, say that's fucked up.
Right.
At minimum, that's fucked up, and Jerry has some explaining to do. That I know Jerry personally. I do not, I have not experienced that from him, but he has some explaining to do with this. At minimum, anything else to me is some fuck shit. You know what I mean? I just can't imagine. Nigga, honestly, bro, we all got our number, right? We talked about it. I will be a lame-ass, fuck-ass nigga for some money. You will never see me defending a motherfucking white man, you know what I'm saying, standing in front of teenagers, preventing them from going to school. Like you said, traumatizing these kids for the rest of their life. Never. There's no number for that. It's just, there's just zero excuse for it. And I don't think Stephen A is like, you know, he gets on television and he's really good at that job on television, but I think he's much more than that. I know a lot of people that fuck with him that say he's solid and all that shit. Agreed. And I think he's a smart man too. He just moved, you know, he plays a
but
role.
This was
on
dumb
TV.
As fuck.
But this, this was dumb as fuck. And that's a fuck nigga stance to take, bro. If I ever take, come on, man. Y'all would call me the same thing if I ever took that stance. You feel me? There's just zero excuse. You can't do that shit, man.
I want to give props to the writers here for holding Jerry accountable, though, because, like I said, he tried to skate with the whole, you know, networking is the key to climbing the corporate ladder. And he reached back to when he was, you know, an oil guy trying to secure a contract. And he found out that the guy he wanted to secure the contract with was a golfer. So he reached out to one of his, you know, mentors or what have you, who had an Augusta membership. And he said, man, could you golf with this guy so I can get this deal done? And they made it happen. And they said, you know, Jerry sat back, please. Like, he nailed him on that one. And the reporter asked him, have you considered that a black man would not have had that option because black people weren't allowed at Augusta? Right? And that's the
barely allowed in Augusta. We're keeping it stacked. Right. Go ahead.
Right, right. And that's the whole encapsulation of this shit. It's not networking where black people, where black coaches are falling short. It's that white men are not letting them in the network. That is the problem here.
Yep.
The coaches are being chosen in rooms where black people aren't there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Flat out. You know what I'm saying?
It's the whole thing. It really is a microcosm for the history of this country. Who has access and who is worthy of sympathy? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who is counted in the collective consciousness as a person? And even so, I mean, Jerry Jones is a famous person, but even so in the story, the headline is going to be about Jerry Jones. And like you said, like the teenagers that are in line there, it's like you could reach out to them for a comment, but they don't get to be Jerry Jones. Like that, you know what I mean? Like that, that shit wasn't. And so that's the, what I thought they did a good job of focusing on was that bigger picture that like, this is more than just acknowledging that in the 50s, people in Arkansas were very racist, right? Like that,
right.
there's nothing interesting about that. But Jerry Jones, the fact that he intentionally did so little in his responses to those questions, and I agree with you, the journalist did a great job of holding him accountable in the story, but like, dog, like we wrote the response in the group chat in fucking 10 seconds. I grew up in a racist place at a racist time, and this is what the world was, and this is what my friends were doing, and I've been fortunate enough to work in the NFL for 35 years and gain a completely different understanding of black people that I, you know, I've come to know in my tenure as owner of the Cowboys, and I'll be better about hiring coaches, and then go on and make no changes. And right, like that's
but
literally
you gave
all
the right answer
do.
in that moment, though. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
And he didn't even feel the need or the pressure to give the right answer because he knows there won't be any consequences for him.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, all he had to do is say, you know, I went there out of curiosity, but I deeply regret that because even though I was there out of curiosity, to those black kids, I was just another face in the crowd that hated him. That was the lowest bar to clear here, bro. And he couldn't even clear that motherfucker.
All right, Jerry speaking, Jones. Well, speaking of not clearing the lowest fucking bar. So, okay, Tyler, do you believe this is the first piece of Dan Snyder's fucking blackmail file? I know I saw a lot of people talking about that. I mean, that photo was fucking crystal clear. And I thought when you sent us the headline, I was like, oh, I'm interested to see this photo because I was like, that shit could not possibly have looked more like Jerry Jones.
That shit like computer generated de-aging shit, right? That shit was crystal clear for some 1957 shit, bro. But yeah, you know, we talked about this too. We were intrigued that he even granted the Washington Post the interview, but then kind of connected the dots here. We know Jeff Bezos, that's his paper. Jeff Bezos has made it known that, you know, he's in the market to own an NFL team. So I know Jerry's probably like, yeah, let me return these calls before these motherfuckers really start digging. Because Jeff Bezos is going to own somebody's team. It might, right. It's probably going to be Washington, but it might be Dallas if you didn't return those calls, bro.
And whenever they sent him the photo, he was like, oh, there's no getting her. Like, that shit looks more like me than I look like me. Like,
yeah. That little turned up ass Whoville nose and shit, man.
Bruh.
It's funny, you can pick him out. They circled as if we didn't know. Like, we know who the nigga is, bruh. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. All right, man. The Washington football team, the Commanders, unveiled Sunday morning their tribute to Sean Taylor. And Tyler, I know that, you know, Sean Taylor's death was very emotional for you. You're a Washington fan, obviously very emotional for a lot of us when he was killed. But, man, that fucking franchise, bro. Like relegate him. Take away the charter, whatever you got to do. But they unveiled a tribute to him that was a wire mannequin.
Big Sporting Goods statue, bro. Like
some old some old Navy shit. What the fuck?
What the fuck,
not
bro?
Not even the shit that he wore and some soccer cleats and a jersey that came out 5 years after his passing. Like, this was the most embarrassing fucking shit. Like, I'm embarrassed about it. Yeah. This shit was so fucking horrible,
bro. It's horrible. Like, you know, being that it's just the layout of the uniform, Sean Taylor's absence hits you in a way that doesn't feel, endearing or whatever. It feels like you just remember that this man was unfortunately murdered when you look at that. Like I said, that shit looks like a fucking crime scene. Looks like evidence. It's a fucking terrible tribute. That franchise can't do shit right, bro.
It's horrible, but it looks like the fucking, like, the case with Robin's costume on it in the fucking Batcave, bro. I've never seen any shit like that in a fucking, in a real world. Like, it's unbelievable. I could not believe that shit. I thought it was a joke or something.
We tragically lost, you know, perhaps the best player in, like, 20, 30 years that we drafted, and this is what he wore.
Right.
That's it.
It's not even what he wore. Right.
This is his number.
He wore it.
This
one
is
time.
A concept of what he would have maybe worn. Goddamn. Fuck the Commanders, bro.
Fuck them.
They didn't even try, bro.
Fuck Jerry Jones.
Them niggas tried. Them niggas tried less than Nike tries with LeBron's. Nike ain't tried with LeBron's in a decade, dog.
Nike, they would have put out the same bronze 6 years in a row, bro.
Nigga, bro. We was talking about this, though. Nike, bro. Nike in the 90s was special. They had me wearing Hideo Nomos, bro. Hideo Nomos. I'm wearing baseball cleats from a fucking pitcher in the Dodgers. My country ass is wearing them shits. You feel me? Like, now they can't even get me to buy LeBron James shoes. You know what I mean? They fell the fuck off. Them crazy.
All right. Well, let's turn to brighter news. The Lakers are back. All the way back, actually.
Championship.
All the way back. Trade the picks. We're only 6 games out of first place in the motherfucking West. Okay? AD looks like a top 5 guy again. All of a sudden. Bron went 7 of 12 from 3. He took a week off and just decided, hey, if the Lakers need a 3-point shooter, I could be that. Fucking. I don't know, man. I understand it's the Spurs. I understand it's the Spurs, but everything I've seen from AD the last 2 weeks has told me trade the fucking picks. The window is not closed yet. Get these fucking guys some help, bro.
Yeah. I mean, with the resurgence that we've seen from AD as of late, I think I'm back on board that AD and Bron at their best is still the best duo in the league. Like, you know, people could say it's Tatum and Brown now, but nah. Nah, if we get this AD for the rest of the season and we get the Bron that we've been having, that's still the best duo in the league. And yeah, I'm ready to start believing the lie again, brothers. I ain't gonna lie to you. I am ready to overreact. I ain't gonna lie.
I think this team, you know, there's some players that I've been fucking with. I'm liking how they move, whatever. But like AD, like AD's looking like he did with the Pels. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that AD was gone. I'm looking at this motherfucker like, you look at this stat sheet, like, this nigga is everywhere. You know what I mean? Like it was, and it was like before he get like his little 24 game, and it was like you didn't feel the 24.
He didn't look like he was playing hard though.
It might have been now like nigga, you feel every buck. You know what I'm saying? You can see he's dominating
he's
the game.
On
you can
defense.
Feel that.
Playing defense too.
So I love it. I love to see it. I love to see it. But Lonnie's been solid too.
Russ and Darvin Ham got AD
off the
and
bench.
Russ to buy into their roles. And Russ has been playing great. I mean, in that role has been great. And he's clearly leaned into it and is comfortable with it. I mean, I'm sure he's still upset. But Darvin Ham did what Frank Vogel could not do.
Yeah.
And got those guys to buy into roles that were better for the team than maybe what they wanted for themselves. And that's whatever happens from here on out, he's stamped to me as a coach. Because if you do that with just Russ, I think you're a really good coach. If you do that with Russ and AD, you're a great coach.
Dog, getting Russ to come off the bench and to still play with that same, you know what I'm saying, ferocity, with that same type of energy, bro. Like, there's very few people that I think would struggle more coming off the bench than Russell Westbrook. The way he feels about himself in his game, and he's deservedly, you know, his career has been incredible. You know what I mean? But that's it's been amazing to see him and Ben Math in the lead for fucking sixth man of the year. So have y'all watched Ben Math play? Benjamin Mathurin?
No.
That motherfucker, bruh. And I know it's Indiana, and you know how I feel about that. Hey, bro, they got one.
But that makes sense because Indianapolis is coming off the bench, so you know what I mean.
Like, you feel me? Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, Tyler. There was a video. You're running counter to the Twitter narrative here, and I want to talk about this with you. On Saturday, there was a video came out of a dude reheating a rib at a college football game. I think it was LSU. No, it was Grambling. Grambling is somebody game. Pulled a rib out and was reheating it with his fucking Bic lighter.
I was distraught.
I think a lot of people looked at this and thought, wow, American ingenuity is back. We're going to be a leader in the world once again, technologically and manufacturing. And you looked at it and said, he's fucking up the flavor.
Yes, he's ruining that fucking rib. You know, I'm not a decorum motherfucker. I love to see ingenuity, you know, on the lines of this, but not this. Because for one, you could tell from the cut of that motherfucking rib that rib was smoked, right? It wasn't a little weak-ass baked rib. And it looked like it had a good smoke on it, too. You know, and you're going to put that butane-ass lighter, that motherfucking butane lighter, you're going to take away all the smoke flavor and have that motherfucker tasting like a gas pump. And everyone's like, wow, this guy is brilliant. No, he's not. He is a war criminal.
Hank Hill, mad as hell right now. Actions. Hank Hill in the audience, mad as hell, like, nigga.
About 5-6 hours of smoke for that, for you to make it taste like a fucking a gas pump? Nah, dog.
I do like the vibes, though. The vibes are hard. He's in that motherfucker eating ribs, and he is being, like you said, the ingenuity, you know what I'm saying? The resourcefulness. These motherfuckers cold, but I do have this lighter. So he fucking up the taste. You might as well have been better off, you know what I'm saying, eating that shit cold. You feel what I'm saying? But the thought of a nigga in the crowd. What is it? LSU? Louisiana?
No, it was Grambling State. It was
Grambling State.
It was
HBCU nigga, HBCU game. You feel me? Motherfucking flaming that bitch up, looking like he lighting a blunt. The vibes are, does it not balance out the butane? Do the vibes not balance out the butane?
It is misplaced vibes here.
Ribs over everything.
It is misplaced vibes here. I see the vision, but the execution and the results leave a lot to be desired.
Oh man, we should try to see how much it affected the smoke, because it's gonna, like you said. I trust you, nigga. You know, I don't doubt you at all. I know it. Hey, my hands up. You know, waving the white flag, you the rib nigga. You feel me? You know what time it is. I'm just saying, maybe it doesn't affect it enough to cancel out the vibes. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm questioning. You know what I mean?
Look, when I send y'all the annual box of meat, I want y'all to take one of them goddamn pork shoulders.
No, I ain't doing that.
I'm about to say, don't waste no more than one.
I'm not ruining one morsel of that meat, dog. Hell no. I'll do that with another spot out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm not ruining that meat you sent me, nigga. I'll be eating that shit cold out the box sometimes and it's still smack, nigga. You feel me? Still tender. Ain't no damn way. Ain't no way, cuz.
How close are we to the annual meat? Yeah, by the way.
on top of the year.
Okay, January, that's when I get it out to the homies.
Oh, 6 weeks. Set my timer.
The countdown has begun. I can already feel the leftover meat in my little molar right here. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Between that canine and that molar, you feel me?
I go into the grocery store by my house and just clean them out of the fucking Hawaiian sweet rolls the day that Tyler's fucking the meat box gets delivered, bro. Just like I'm gonna watch sporting events I don't care about. Fucking eat this food.
Hey, Mike, are you the only white dude to eat Hawaiian sweet rolls?
No. I mean, not Long Beach. I don't know.
Okay.
I was wondering because I ain't never seen him in my white homies' cribs and when I was in high school and shit. You know what I mean? I thought all the niggas ate that.
King's Hawaiian Bakery is in Torrance over here. So it's in all the grocery stores here and shit. So maybe that's the case. I don't know. But it's like, my kids eat that for breakfast. You know what I mean? We just fucking throw them at them.
Throw a sausage on that thing. Yow.
Crazy, bro.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible. So I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
Soccer fans, tournament action is heating up, and now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in free bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to goals scored to corners. Big game tomorrow, USA playing Iran, need a win to get out of group, and I'm a big USA soccer fan. I believe they're going to do it, so I would take them. I like Pulisic to finally pop one into the net. He was so close. He was so close against England. I think it's going to happen against Iran. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. FanDuel is also now live in Maryland. Marylanders, make sure you get in on the action also with great offers and boosts just for you. So don't miss your chance at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel with promo code JANJ. That's J-A-N-D-J. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. I know that the Volume Social team, shout out to Biko, would love for us to talk about the World Cup. I love the World Cup. It's probably my second favorite sporting event after the Olympics. I love all the national storylines. I love going to the bar and watching games, which I really don't do with any other sport, but it's just different with fucking soccer and everything. My question to you is, do y'all give 1/32nd of a shit about the World Cup?
See, I feel like the whole moving it around to the prime of sports, that's where they lost me. Like, I was for sure locking in during the summer when wasn't shit going on but mm-hmm. World Cup and baseball. Mm-hmm. It's too much shit going on right now, bro. NFL, NBA, you know what I'm saying? So, nah, I have zero interest in the World Cup, and it's all because of the timing.
Yeah. I don't have zero interest. Like, I tap in with Zeets, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that.
I enjoy the homie Aaron. But I'm not watching any games.
Yeah, I haven't watched a single second of a game, but I want to. You know what I'm saying? Is Nigeria playing?
Nigeria did not get in, which my three teams are always USA, Italy, and Nigeria. So
yeah, I probably was, Nigeria.
And Italy
man,
and Nigeria both didn't get in. So it's been a tough World Cup for me on those interests. I like Tyler. I'm definitely with you on that, and it's especially egregious that the reason it's happening in November is because they gave it to Qatar. For like $100 million payoff or whatever the fuck. So they just like have to do it at the holidays. They have to do it on Thanksgiving because the heat would have been too bad over the summer.
Right.
But I will say it is great for those of us who work at home, which I do. It's very nice to wake up and have sports on until like 1:30 p.m. You know what I mean? I'm not, because you're right. I'm not watching it today. But, you know, like, yeah, later in the week, it's like you wake up, it's like fucking, it's 11. And I'm like, okay, it's not shit else happening right now. So it's good.
How long is it running?
It'll be another couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll hit you offline and invite you over for the, I'm having some people over. Actually getting Naples Rib Company, our barbecue spot at the 562.
Is it smoke? Because I might put a lighter to that and see what time it is. Yep. But Tyler's meat will be untouched and unscathed. I guarantee you that.
Unsullied.
Until I smack that shit.
Yeah, you can't tell us that it's ruining it and then tell us to do it to the meat that you send.
Come on, dude. Niggas be waiting all year for that shit. Talk about.
Only one. Nigga, hell no.
All right. Last topic. Did y'all see this? This actually happened a little while ago, but we had not had a chance to talk about it. Did y'all see the video of the flock of sheep in Mongolia that have been walking in a circle for 10 days straight?
Are they still doing it? I know it was I saw when it was like 4 or 5 days, but are they still doing it?
As far as I know, I don't have sources in Mongolia.
I've seen the video. Yeah, yeah.
Is this it, bro?
Have they explained it yet? They haven't explained it yet?
No. Because when ants do it, they do have an explanation for it, but there's no explanation for sheep. When ants do it, it's because they get caught in a loop chasing each other's pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just call it like an ant death spiral or something. But I don't think it has really been seen with mammals doing some shit like that. And if you watch the video, it's very disturbing, bro.
They look like they're in a trance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They look like
the sheep are healthy, and the reason for the weird behavior is still a mystery.
It looked like when old boy was singing in the water, hitting that noise what's the movie we just watched? Black Panther. It kind of looked like that. They looked like they lost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just in a wild trance. It's crazy. I don't know. I ain't got to the point where if we see another animal moving that way. Then I'm fully where you at, Mike. But I'm waiting a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I feel like there has to be an explanation, a logical one. You know what I'm saying? If another animal does the same thing, and we see that, or another, you know, was
what
it
would be the
sheep?
Creepiest animal to find out was walking in a circle to herald the apocalypse?
That's a good question.
It has to be something vicious, right? Because to see them docile would be really scary. Group of big cats. Jackson says a group
Jackson
of big cats.
I was thinking
a lion. I was thinking a lion, tigers, like or even
bears. Tigers would be scarier because they're solitary. So if they all come together and start walking in circles.
Okay, you know, there we go. That makes sense.
No, there's not shit you could do about it either. You're not telling the tigers to go somewhere else. Like
No.
There's no updated news sources from Mongolia, so I'm not seeing any update on what's
you just
going
looked
on
it up?
With sheep. Yeah.
Okay, man. Somebody has to figure something else out. If it goes on like 20 days, then I don't even need another animal. I think I'm there. I think I'm okay. Like, yo, something's going on.
Okay. Length of time or number of species? Those are the two.
Doesn't that make sense though?
Graph. Yeah, yeah, I agree with you.
I'm trying to stay. I honestly looked at it and I
you
was
got a baby
high.
Girl. You can't be heralding
right,
the end of the world for sure.
Right. And then I was like, no, I can't go there. You know what I'm saying? I was like, no. Let me just calm down. Waiting for it, you know what I mean? Yeah,
I feel you for sure. All right, fellas, that's all the time we got for today. We'll be back on Thursday, y'all. Like I said, live on the Amazon Amp app at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. East Coast on Thursday, or you can catch the pod in your other podcast feeds after that. Thanks for sticking with us. Hope everyone had a great holiday weekend, and we'll catch y'all soon. I hope all you have a friend like Tyler out there who will fly across the country for you for turning fucking 40 like a madman. So, Tyler texted me, John. Boys, I want you to know, Tyler texted me. We were texting individually about it, and I literally told him, quote, you are fucking nuts.
You told him
Black
right.
Black Friday, too, bro. It's like the right. worst day to travel.
Sheesh. I appreciate it, though. Greatly appreciate it.
So, like I said, it's a blessing, bro, to be able to do that now. Like I said, we was fucking greyhounding it.
Right. Big struggle.
Yeah. Well, it's buzzing came up.
Thanks, Volume.
All right, y'all. We'll see y'all on Thursday.
Bye.
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 Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.